Again, this Psalm 119 is, as Martin used the analogy often of the blocking and tackling of athletes. They're the basic things that an athlete, no matter a pro football player, never gets away from the basics. You know, he has to practice every time throughout his entire career, blocking and tackling, simple things doing to make him good at what he does as an athlete. And we find ourselves again in this Psalm 119, the psalmist lifting up the word of God is the basics of our dependency on what the word says is our blocking and tackling of the truths of the word of God. We will never be able to stray from. So we're looking at it again. And he describes it as such. It doesn't get, none of these words are fancy, but I have grown more and more in going through this 119. And, you know, at first I said, how can I continually gain, share different insights? And then the theme is the same over and over. Yet I find that, you know, the opposite is true. The things that we talk about all the time, the things that we know, but yet we find ourselves in our actions forgetting, acting like we forget what we've been taught all our lives. And so, again, no apologies for going over again the dependency upon the word of God as the psalmist lays it out. And so he starts off describing the word of God as a lamp to his feet and a light to his path. And just that analogy alone, it presupposes that we're in darkness and we need something to illumine our path. You put yourself in a cave, you know, imagine yourself falling into a cave. He says his first thing he does is see where he's standing. And of course, we stand, or there's darkness all around us where we stand, where we start. And so we shine it at our feet to look to see if we're on, you know, an edge of falling further or perhaps snakes around us. And we do. We have snakes all around us every day. And we need that light to see if we're standing firmly and securely and safely. And then he says that it's also illuminates his path. And after you see that you're standing firm, of course, you use it to look out where you're going for that day. And we need that word each day to both to see if we're, you know, to examine ourselves to see if we're standing firmly and what is the direction that that day takes us. And we need that word to show us that. And of course, the analogy, you can continue it and say a lamp without oil is useless. A flashlight without batteries is useless. And of course, you see the lesson there is that the word of God sitting on our shelf really don't do us any good. So or even the word of God preached without the Holy Spirit bringing it to life is it's dead as well. And that's why we pray, Lord, you know, illuminate your word with your Holy Spirit, quicken us with the word. So you see that analogy is very useful in that sense. And, you know, being a light to our path, you know, sometimes the word of God, you know, I would like to know, I find myself praying for wisdom for situations constantly. And sometimes in reading the word, it just gives you illumination for one day at a time. You know, you see enough light to know where to step one step, but that path is ongoing. It's one step at a time. And so our dependency is like the nation of Israel in the wilderness. You know, the manna only comes one day at a time. And sometimes the illumination of the word, you know, we think that, you know, sometimes in our studies, we'd like to have the whole understanding of the subject matter, but sometimes it comes in little pieces, you know, at a time. And so it is with illuminating our path, but we walk in it one step at a time. He says in verse 6, I have sworn and I will confirm it that I will keep thy righteous ordinances. It's interesting. Some of the phraseology that is used, you know, like in this instance, he's hammering down a statement that he swears to, and then he's doubling down on it. And he's also confirming that statement. And the only way for somebody to do that is that they've had to think about something, you know, before you're going to swear to something. And for sure, where you're going to promise after you swear to something is that you've thought about that a little while. And, you know, likewise for us, again, this is applicable to where we start each day saying, no matter what comes, I'm going to rest in what you say, Lord. You know, come, as we use the expression, hell or high water, you know, it's like, you know, look, the psalmist knew well about those, you know, that hell or high water time frames, you know, and people pursuing him. If David found himself, you know, in much, you know, much of this type of, you know, adversity, and likewise with us. And so the observation, first observation is that surely he's thought about the alternatives before you make that stand. You know, and I'm constantly reminded and encouraged by something as simple as Peter's statement. You know, when Christ asks him again, are you going to go somewhere too? And he says, you know, he understands the choices. Where else am I going to go? You know, you got words of eternal life. And so I imagine the psalmist has done so before he makes such a statement. He realizes that these are the words of life. And it's a good reminder for us is that, look, there is no backup plan for us, but what we find in the Word of God. And secondly, observation number two on this statement is that we have to also know that just like the psalmist, we can make this same statement, but it doesn't mean that David thought that he wasn't going to break one of these along the way somewhere, and is that he's going to find himself not doing what he says. Is that, you know, when he says that I'm going to keep these ordinances, he's not saying that I'll never break one again, and nor do we say that. But, you know, that's the legalist or making resolutions to where we think that we're just not going to break them ever again is a danger in and of itself. You know, resolutions can be good things and to set our sights, but it can also, we have to be careful and realize that, look, as we know our flesh, the word, you know, though we make a resolution that this is going to be it, I'm not going anywhere else, it's sort of like what we do as Christians in our marriages. It's like they tell us up front for better, for worse. That means there's going to be the worst comes along too, you know. But the resolution is that, look, the worst comes, I'm not going to leave and go find another avenue, you know. My resolve is that I'm here, you know, I'm staying, I'm sticking. And that's how it has to be, like the psalmist here. When that resolution he makes, he knows it's not going to be, he's not going to get the worst in his life, but he does know that this is it. This is it. This is what I'm going to go back to. If I fall down, I'm getting back up, and this is what I'm going to again. But, you know, so he's establishing that baseline truth. It'll direct his steps. When the light goes out, you know, he's going to use the word to be his light to see this is, I'm picking myself up and I'm going there again. 107, verse 107, he states that I'm exceedingly afflicted. Revive me, O Lord, according to the word. You know, I personally, I've also grown to love, and I take it that this was David's writings here in this psalm, but David, you know, there is a statement of such positivity of his resolve and what God has done and what he's doing and the glory of God. And then on a dime, it turns to what's bad happening around him. It's like he goes from, you know, I'm resolved. I love the law. I love the word of God. Lord, I'm in such despair. You know, help me. And that's, I find that, you know, I find that great. He doesn't, I think it shows us that the two are not separated for a believer. The two are not, it reminds us that, you know, like his determination to be obedient to God, it didn't come from the comforts of his life. It didn't come from just the mountaintops, but it came through those seasons of affliction. And he ties the two constantly together. The glory of God, the glory of what God's word and what it does for him to his afflictions. And, you know, without the word, afflictions are just, they're not good at all. They make our life miserable. And those outside of relying on the word of God, what does it do to them when a loved one is lost or tragedy strikes? If you don't have the hope in the word constantly, your world crumbles. And so that's why he continually puts the two together. You know, the beauty of the word, relying on the word, and then turn around and saying, yeah, Lord, but I need you because it's, you know, all this is happening around me. So, you know, our end goal, as we pray, you know, we pray to make us more like our master, make us more like Christ. And we need to be reminded that, you know, through our daily afflictions, what God's doing is, you know, as part of our sanctification process. It takes away our false assurances that somehow that, you know, trusting in Christ means that all things, you know, are better in this world or, in, you know, in our surroundings. What the afflictions also do, it just strips away everything to where we're left with Christ alone as our hope. It strengthens and perfects our patience through those afflictions. We edify one another by those afflictions. When we see someone going through such things and the words out of their mouth is, you know, yet I'm trusting in the Lord, yet by the grace of God, I'm going to keep trusting and we're going to keep praying. And that encourages one another when we do what David does in here, when we do that amongst ourselves, and we all have those afflictions. And but it so encourages when you sit here, somebody speak them, and as being honest about, you know, the struggles, they're real and they hurt, but turning around and saying, but I'm hoping in the Lord, I'm trusting that God's good, God's faithfulness. What an encouragement that is. And we need that. We need those two to pair together constantly, you know, constantly. And I'll tell you, it's hard to get that if we're not constantly using that light, using that word of God to remind us ourselves of those things, and the Holy Spirit quickening us with that word, saying, you know, how's the verse worded? Not afflictions, but what's the word it uses? Remains for the night, but glory comes in the morning. You know, those words we need constantly to refresh our own self, to encourage our own self with those words. And likewise, when that's in our heart, when we speak about the afflictions that we're going through with those around us and we share those things, it's mixed with both. It's mixed with, like David, the truth of the real affliction, but it's mixed with encouragement saying, but I'm looking at God. I'm trusting in what the word says about his faithfulness. So I've just enjoyed seeing that mixture like that in this psalm. Verse 108, he says, oh, accept the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thine ordinances. Again, the phraseology is like this freewill offering is spoken as though it was a sacrifice he's bringing to the altar. You know, a freewill offering is something you're doing of yourself, but I'm sorry, doing of yourself because of what's been done for you. And you see the Lord's goodness. And so you respond and you want to bring this before the Lord. They were showing his love for the Lord and his devotion to God. Spurgeon makes a comment on this verse here. Verse 108, he says, God's revenues are not derived from forced taxation, but from free will donations. Thought that was really cool. There can be no acceptance where there is no willingness. So anyway, I thought that was pretty neat. And he adds, and teach me thine ordinances. You know, as much as, again, the psalmist states how he loves the word, how he's been taught the word, he even kind of not brags, but in the sense of saying, you have made me above my teachers, my elders, my enemies through the wisdom. All of that saying what he's gained, he's very careful to continue to ask Lord to continue to teach him. And likewise, I'm going to quote this right now. I'm sorry. And likewise, we never get to the point of thinking that we've arrived in what God has shown us. Humility remains with the child of God, no matter what No matter what we see, we reveal, no matter how many light bulbs go off on teachings, we continually need to remind, we have to stay to the Lord and ask for to continually to teach us his word. Verse 109, my life is continually in my hands, or continually in danger, another translation. Yet I do not forget thy law. Verse 110, the wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not gone astray from thy precepts. Yes, we know that the psalmist's life, David, was constantly in danger. But yet again, he makes sure he's the connection is to God's word is what keeps him staying strong. And, you know, we have the parallel. David had physical enemies always after him, and we continually read about it and how the Lord delivered him constantly through him. But there are spiritual enemies after him, and certainly spiritual enemies after us as well. And we need to remember that, that our enemies are crafty, wicked, crafty, and they're out to get us, and they find weaknesses to set traps for us. He says he uses that expression, they set snares for us, and our enemies too will set snares for us. And just as a good trapper does, he's going to set his traps where he thinks the animals are most, or where they're traveling and where they're most vulnerable. And we have areas where we're most vulnerable. And that's where Satan is going to set a trap for us. If we're vulnerable when times are, when we're alone, then guess what? That's probably when your temptations are going to be the greatest. If you're vulnerable to have wrong thoughts, when you're in front of the TV, and guess what? You better be careful anytime you sit in front of the TV. Wherever your vulnerability is, wherever you travel in unsafe places, that's where the snare is going to be set. Be aware of that. The Word of God, again, reminds us of that. To be careful of our walk, of the places we find ourselves in. You know, our mind, it's an area. If we are around unbelievers all day at work, you know, we hear a bad thing, we have to be careful of that. Our minds can get thoughts. You know, that is how the evil one is doing. If you constantly are bombarded with lies and lies and lies, it's amazing how sometimes that Satan will use that to make you think that you think that too. That's what's going on in our universities. You know, they figure if they pound, and in the small, young, all grades now, if they pound these lies long enough, well, that's a trap, trapping their minds of these young kids. If they have nothing else to counteract that, then that trap will surely catch a bunch, you know. And we're not immune to that, those types of trappings as well, you know. But we're just, this analogy just to remember that the evil one is out, you know, crawling around like a roaring lion, as the word tells us, and be careful of our past. And in verse 111, he says, I've inherited thy testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart. What is the psalmist's spiritual heritage that he says? What is he looking forward and working for? He doesn't state heaven. He doesn't state here that, you know, heaven is my heritage, though that's true. And he knows, and he knows that and looking for that. And he doesn't state that it's a word of God, a well done word. That's not what he speaks here as his inheritance too, is his heritage. But it's just this word. It's his heritage is what he's been speaking about all along. It's the word itself that he says, that's my heritage. That's what I've inherited. How do these testimonies belong to us? How do we claim them? How do we claim an interest in them? We know it's not by our own merit. We know it's not by us purchasing anything, doing it by our actions. But it's just inherited. And again, these truths that we've known every day and talk constantly, just being, you know, for instance, that phrase, joint heirs with Christ, joint heirs, as you meditate, what is that? What is that reminding us of? It's reminding us of our heritage. It's reminding us that, you know, unlike this life, you know, we inherit something by somebody usually passing away, and it used to belong to them, and we're the next in line. And our court system says, all right, you know, Frank, your parents passed away. Now you legally own this property or whatever. So our feeble courts declare that, and Frank takes it. Okay, well, I guess that means it's mine, and he acts like it's his, and he takes possession over it. But we have the word of God saying we're joint heirs with Christ. And we read about, if that's so, you know, we parallel, it's hard sometimes to parallel your ownership of who you are and what's been done for you and what's been given to you with that of Jesus Christ. But it says we're joint heirs. And sometimes it's just helpful just to look around and it, both the universe now, the world now, and it says that all things were created through Jesus Christ, and they belong to him. He sustains all things. And then we think about the world to come and the glories of all that. And it says we are joint heirs with all of that. How much more is God's word true when he declares it than these courts when they declare something here is ours? You know, and our title is so much more secure than what the court says about our little feeble ownership here. And so, you know, that those words alone just give us encouragement of what has been given us, what is ours by inheritance. You know, all of these things that the word of God speaks on our behalf, it brings, should bring joy to that. Look, you know, yes, we you know, we have the temporary things that we see, you know, knocking us down or whatever. And, you know, though we find ourselves in poverty's row, we can give it all what we do have left. Like the lady that she saw the value in their giving her last 2 copper cents or the lady's last bit of perfume or whatever, because of the value of the inheritance. And it's an investment to give all that we have, because the return is everything, everything. And what a great inheritance we've been given. And again, the word of God just reminds us of those inheritance things. What a great inheritance we have that it reminds us of found in the word of God. And, you know, and finally, as a reminder of that point, is that, you know, myself included, we think of how we can try to leave our kids or grandkids better than what we are physically and leave them something. But you know what? If we just remind them of the importance of this, if this is all we have to leave to any one of them, we've left them everything. We've left them the best heritage that we possibly could, if this is all that we have. And we need to share that with them and tell them, say, look, you know, I might have spent everything I got, but I'm going to make sure I'm going to give you the only thing that really matters. I'm going to leave you this right here. That's just an encouragement to teach our kids. This is what we want to leave them, right? Remind ourselves of, that's our goal, to leave them that. And finally, in verse 112, he says, I've inclined my heart to perform thy statutes forever, even to the end. He's emphasizing the theme at the end as he was at the beginning. He never is going to forsake the word. He's never going to stop reading it. He's never going to stop meditating on it. He's never going to stop obeying it. He's completely abandoned himself to the will of God, to the word of God. So basically, he's telling us at the end, just as he did in the beginning, this word is going to be the light to my feet to know where I'm standing. And it's also going to carry me all the way through one step at a time to the very end. And so, again, it's another just simple reminder of the block and tackling, that how precious it is to have the word of God as our light, that we don't second guess what God is like. What a glorious, that's one of the number one truths I share with somebody when I'm trying to get through to them about, you know, the foolish arguments they have about believing in God or not believing in God, and what is God like, and how do I know, and all that stuff. But look, we don't have to guess what God is like. You know, we don't have to guess what pleases God, what doesn't please God, what it means to be acceptable in his sight. But just a simple, again, a reminder, I tell him, I said, look, God has given us this revelation. This is the greatest thing he's given us, and this is what we have. And so, you know, Tom knows on the streets of which you share is that you're always coming from the Word of God. And that's, you know, just telling those simple truths is this, and it applies to as a reminder to us, this is what we're going to go to day after day, every day for the rest of our lives. So again, we're just thanking God for it this morning. It's just lifting up the Word of God in this Psalm of 119. Another 8-verse section reminds us of that, that we can thank God for it this morning. And, you know, in that, it just affects, as we do pray for people and things, it's just the connection that we make to it, is that as we pray and lift up our requests, we have the Word of God reminding us that he hears us, that he listens to us, that he is pleased with our prayers, that it goes up as a fragrant aroma to him, and that we have confidence as we approach the throne. We have that access to him. So, you know, as we pray this morning for things and people, I just, again, wanted to use that section to encourage us that the Word gives us those promises and assures us of our audience that he's listening. So with that in mind, let's pray. Go ahead as we thank God, but we can pray requests now and as we do later, because there'll be more people on with more requests. But if you got any requests, lift them up in prayer this morning and this half. You're welcome to pray, and now it closes.
Thank you, Lord, together, that we have the opportunity to gather together today to look at your word, to study the truths of your word. Thank you so much for the encouragement that, like a recurring theme even in my own life, Lord, just often circumstances feed you conflicting messages, or that everything's going to fall apart, or that everything is ruinous, hasn't worked out as you planned or hoped or desired or even prayed, Lord. We can keep your ordinances. We can keep heart, because you're not defined by the circumstances. We're not defined by what is going on at the moment. Defined by eternal truths that we have in your word, that yes. We have in our hearts, Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you that we have the opportunity as saints to gather together to hear these words of encouragement, and that your spirit is already active and working in these first few minutes of our time together today to do an amazing work to teach us, to apply, to and convict my own heart about these things, Lord, and to make application.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the testimony of brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for the Spirit's word this week in the life of Mr. Todd, just giving him the words of truth, the words of hope, to illuminate the scriptures. Your word truly is a lamp unto our feet, Lord.
Yeah.
We're so thankful for it.
Thank you, Lord.
Pray, Lord, that every step, every word, every thought, even our decisions and discussions about what the future of GBF might look like, Lord,
yes.
And what the past has looked like today in our business meeting, Lord, that all of it would be ordained by you, that it would all be to your glory.
Yes.
It would not be something that we would roll our eyes at or fret over or be disappointed by, but Lord, that we would just come to it encouraged and excited to see what you're doing, hear about what you've done in the past in our church, to contemplate prayerfully what you are doing here through this body. We love you so much. We thank you for an opportunity together today.
Thank you.
Father, we give you thanks this morning for the purity of the truth and sureness of it, that it is a solid ground for us, an anchor that you give it to us in such a way that you make it understandable.
Yes,
even babes can grasp and believe. So, Lord, we thank you that your word is deep and it's understandable. And it's true. Thank you for your spirit this morning.
Thank you, Son. Thanks, Spirit.
Bless us with your spirit this morning, Lord.
Thank you.
In this place. Prepare our hearts and our minds. Worship you.
Worship. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, give us patience with one another. Patience to wait and to listen. To follow. Not our own understanding, but to wait and to see what is your path that's going to give you the most glory.
Mm.
Lord, that's something that we have to wait on. Because it's not plain as day. Lord, help us to get ourselves out of our way.
Yes.
Wait on the Spirit to work.
Yes.
To be reasonable with one another. Lord, we thank you that you love us in such a way that we don't play around us at all. The love of this world is so cold.
Yeah.
Help us to have that that in our hearts so that we may stay the rest of our time here in this little classroom. But we have that, as the brother said, what an inheritance to leave behind your work.
Amen. Yes.
And your love, Lord.
Yes.
Let it be said at GPS that they love there.
Mm. Yes, Lord.
Well, you know that you delight in giving. When we ask for thanks, the Lord, we ask for your spirit this morning.
Yes.
Wisdom. I don't know what is the best route for GPS that we're bringing for the Lord.
Yeah.
Pray that you would bless the reading, the preaching of the word this morning, that it would not return void.
Right.
And thank you again for the opportunity for us to gather together today and enjoy worship, encouragement of the word, singing with them. Lord, let it be spirit led and spirit filled, bringing glory. We love you and thank you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Father, what joy it is to again get to look into all the promises of your word, of what we have inherited in Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord. Yet still we find ourselves in our thoughts, even in the words that come out of our mouth, as though we're in Romans 7 and wondering why we find ourselves doing the things we would not want to do or saying the things we would not want to say. And, oh, Lord, I find myself like that and say, no, that's not what I believe. And yet words of less than confidence and you being at work are often on my lips, and I ask for forgiveness for that, Lord. But in our heart has been planted the seeds of truth from your word that speak otherwise, Lord, that we know that all things are done perfectly before the foundation of the world for each one of us. Each thing, each trial, each affliction that you have ordained to for each one of us to encounter have been precisely put in our path to make us more like Jesus Christ, to prepare us for our inheritance, Lord. We thank you for that. Thank you, Father, that you do not leave your sheep as a good shepherd, Father. You go after us when we stray in our thoughts and we stray in our words. I thank you this morning that time and time and time again that you have went after each one of us and brought us even this day, Lord. Every one of us here, we found ourselves at Doubting Castle, found ourselves when we doubted of our inheritance, doubted of who we are, our Christianity, our belief, our faith. And the evil one would have us go astray. But Father, we do. We are like Peter. There is nowhere else to go. There is no other option for us. For you have words of eternal life. We thank you this morning for those words. Oh, Lord, many prayers, many burdens of our hearts. We have seek you for those things, Lord. And we trust you that you are hearing them. We trust you as we lift up health issues, Father. I thank you for the encouraging words from hearing people like Claudia continually and not giving up, coming back, no matter what the circumstances, coming back to continually put her trust and her hope in you, Father. That whether it's her and Tim or the rest of us as we grow old, as we see ourselves or our loved ones, Lord, I thank you that you've granted us fellowship to encourage one another by. Continue this path and hear the testimonies of how good you are in spite of the afflictions, and just in spite of what's around us. Like David, it says that we can both lie down in peace and sleep, for it is you that sustains us, Lord. Thank you for your sustaining love this morning, Lord. We look to you to continue sustaining us as we trust in your word, trust in the finished work of your son. We love you and we worship you today, Lord. Continue to meet with us. Grant wisdom and grant ears to hear as we lift up prayers further and requests further today. In Jesus' name, amen.